contemporary Christian music was just getting started in the 1960s, and at first it was called Jesus music. As a young musician, I believe that the message of the Lord could be accepted by young people by using the kind of music they like to listen to. And during the 1960s, that music was rock and roll. I tried to write 3-minute rock songs that sounded like something you'd hear on the radio. In some of them, I wrote about my experience as a young believer. In 1964, when I was 13, I made my first attempt at writing an original song. Going from a 12-year-old to a teenager seemed like a big step to me, and I wanted to write a song about how I felt at that time. Thanks to Caroline and Pat for giving me piano lessons, I had already figured out some little musical ditties on the piano, and I felt like a real composer. After the response I got from Caroline when I played it for her,
"You should be practicing your piano lessons, not that."
I did not bother to play it for anybody, and Pat never heard it. My creative desires were crushed for a long time after that. 10 years later, in 1974, I would add lyrics to the music and it would become part of the storyline and the first song, 12 to 21, in the 60s rock opera I was just starting to write. At age 14, I worked at a local tree farm pruning Christmas trees during the summer months. It was hot work in the sun and cold work in the rain. With my first week's pay, I bought my first pair of Levi blue jeans. Back in the 1950s, new blue jeans were sold stiff as a pine board. They were flat, cardboard-like feeling material that only became comfortable after several washings, and they would turn your legs blue if you didn't wash them first. Skin-tight pants were in style, but my legs were so skinny that all the pants looked baggy on me. So, I sewed up my pant legs, or pegged them, to make them fit tighter around my legs. I washed my new pair of blue jeans until they were nice and soft and faded. But the next time Carolyn did the laundry, she burned them up in the trash because she thought they looked old. I never did figure that one out, but from then on, I started washing my own clothes. During the 1950s, most boys my age dressed in blue jeans and t-shirts. All t-shirts were just plain white. Then local resorts in Miami started printing advertising logos like Mickey Mouse on them, and other companies were quick to follow using t-shirts for marketing. These shirts were not very popular because, at the time, no one liked using their body as a bulletin board along the highway to advertise any product. When I was in school, we listened to Bob Lewis broadcast live play-by-play of the Greenville Yellow Jacket sports events on the new radio station in town, WPLB. I was on the baseball team as a manager, and I loved to hear the Tigers games on the radio. WPLB commercials always pushed, "Keep the green in Greenville." They were encouraging consumers to support local businesses by shopping in Greenville. Grand Rapids was not too far away to drive to get things from the big city. A friend told me about a new sandwich he tried in Grand Rapids. He described them as so small that you could eat more than one. I wondered, Why would you want a sandwich that is so small you had to eat more than one to get full?
The following weekend, he took me to Grand Rapids so I could try this new sandwich for myself. I ordered just one because I was not too sure if I was going to like it or not. But before we left, I ate almost a half a dozen of this new sandwich called a taco. Greenville had three places I could get my favorite food, hamburg and french fries. The A&W had their excellent root beer, which I still love today, but their prices were high. I used to walk to the Jiffy Burger during lunch hour from high school. The food was cheap, and it was within walking distance. But I had one problem. Some kids would save their lunch money and buy tobacco cigarettes instead of food. Then they would steal my french fries at lunchtime. I stopped the fry thieves by putting a lot of black pepper all over them. It worked. They stopped. And I still like my fries that way today, covered with pepper. My favorite restaurant to serve the best gourmet greasy food was Rio's Burger Bar. They were next to Black Field at the old senior high school where the Greenville Yellow Jackets played football. In the fall of 1965, on the first day of freshman football tryouts, and at the end of practice, someone shouted at me in the locker room. They said,
"Hey, Ronnie, the varsity football coach wants to talk to you right now."
My first thoughts was, wow, I must have run pretty fast today. I joined him and the other coaches in their office, and the varsity coach, Ed Hybe, told me this.
"Ronnie, how much do you weigh?"
Before I could answer, he continued.
"I know you wrestle 95 weight class, but if I let you play football with the other kids and one of them falls over, they're going to break you."
Coach pulled me aside and said,
"But I got an idea, especially for you."
He said,
"How would you like to be one of only two boys that could get your letter in football 4 years in a row?"
Now I was confused, but I trusted the coach and listened to his proposition. He said,
"This year's freshman quarterback is so good that I'm going to bump him up to the varsity squad. And I will take you also from the freshman class and teach you how to tape ankles, but I cannot let you play football. But you will have the chance to earn your varsity letter."
It was a great deal for me, and I could be part of something bigger than myself. I loved being seen with a team wearing my Greenville Varsity Club jacket. It was the smallest size they made, and it was still too big for me. The G was almost bigger than the jacket. The football games were held at Blackfield, and I usually stood on the sidelines and froze. I felt lucky if my job at the game was to stand in front of the heater and melt the ice off the towels the quarterback and the centers used. Rio's Burger Bar was within walking distance, and they had the best onion rings ever. I could smell their food from the field, and it always made me hungry.